From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this update. The state has resumed accepting applications online for checks from Alaska's Oil Wealth Fund. State revenue officials last Tuesday closed the online application system for what it described as technical issues that prevented applicants from submitting their forms. The Department of Revenue at the time said there were reports that some applicants had inadvertently seen personal information from other applicants who had already filed for their Alaska Permanent Fund dividend. And in other news, the Civic Board tasked with governing Juneau's municipal pools may not dissolve in July as planned. Voters created the Aquatics Board in 2014 through a ballot proposition following concerns over the management of city pools. The board's charter was originally set to expire in May 2018, but the Juneau Assembly voted last year to extend it for another year. Now it may become permanent. The board's power has been a point of conflict from the start, although it was originally envisioned as an empowered board with the ability to hire and fire its own CEO. The Assembly left the Parks and Recreation Director in charge instead. At Monday's meeting of the Assembly Human Resource Committee, City Manager Roy Watt said he thinks that this proposal will finally bring peace to the issue.
I think it's fair to say that the board would have preferred to become an empowered board. I think it's also fair to say that, in my opinion, the scope and duties of the aquatics program doesn't match up well with an empowered board. Slowly, the board came around to accept that view.
Watt said he believes many of the concerns that led to the creation of the board have been resolved and that the pools are being run better today.
The criticisms that were levied against the program some years ago about not being responsive enough to users and not being efficient enough in tracking costs and revenue collections, I think they were fair.
Under the proposal, the 7-member board would add 2 seats, one for the Juneau School District and another for Glacier Swim Club. The Parks and Recreation Director will also have a non-voting seat on the board. The board will still be able to propose facility regulations and fees for pool facility use and review annual operating and capital budgets. Parks and Recreation Director George Schaff said the board has an important role in helping the city run its pools.
The voters voted to establish an aquatics board, and what we want to do as staff is make sure that we're representing the public interest in how the pools are operated and run, and boards are a great way to do that.
The Assembly will hold a public meeting on the proposal before voting on it at the next Assembly meeting. And a note of disclosure, George Schaff sits on KTOO's board of directors. Scientists have known for a while why yellow cedar is dying across its range. Without a blanket of snow in the spring, the roots can freeze during cold snaps. Climate change has been linked to killing at least 1 million acres of trees across the Pacific Northwest. So I spoke to one ecologist who wondered, for the yellow cedar forest and the people who care about them, what comes after environmental loss? Lauren Oakes says a dead standing yellow cedar tree looks out of place, like a telephone pole on the landscape. Over time, the branches fall off. What you're left with is a ghostly hole. It's the kind of image that leaves an impression.
It made climate change that much more real to me because it often seems as something that's far off or future or not affecting me yet.
Oakes is an ecologist, and she calls yellow cedar the canary tree, as in that old saying, the canary in the coal mine, a sign of impending danger. However, Oakes is quick to point out, she doesn't see yellow cedar's fate as a doom and gloom story.
It is a story of loss, but it's also a story of regrowth.
Yellow cedar is an iconic species that grows from the top of California all the way to Prince William Sound. It's been used for centuries by indigenous carvers and weavers. And commercially, it's some of the most valuable timber for harvest. But yellow cedar is declining across its range, and that decline is expected to continue. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is considering listing it as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. Oak says the science on why the decline is happening is pretty much settled. Warming is largely to blame. So as part of her doctoral research, she traveled to Southeast Alaska with a different set of questions in mind.
How is the forest community changing in response to the death of these trees? And how might people be coping with those changes in their communities?
That is, how could she find hope in a forest that's turning into a graveyard? To answer her first question, how the ecosystem itself is changing, Oak set out to survey dead stands of yellow cedar across the region, a task she says was overwhelming because of the volume. But she found the forest was adjusting. New tree species were growing in the newly opened understory. Shrubs were coming up that deer like to eat. Oaks is focusing on that regrowth gave her some hope. She also interviewed people affected by the loss and found they were adjusting too. Oak spoke to the late Tlingit weaver, Terry Rothgar. During their conversations, Rothgar referred to yellow cedar as the tree people. Here she is in a Rasmussen Foundation video from 2013, gathering materials outside for weaving.
So you look for an area where there's just moss starting to mature. There's getting to be a few little berry bushes, but you kind of get underneath and...
In the video, Rothgar is looking for spruce roots. She explained to Oak she was using it more in her weaving as a substitute for yellow cedar. Rothgar thought yellow cedar could use a break due to climate change.
She was someone who, you know, had a real emotional tie to these trees, certainly talked of the grief she was experiencing, but it was also something that inspired her to, you know, not only share with others the importance of, you know, offering some restraint to these trees themselves, but then, you know, educate others about climate change.
Like oaks, other scientists are starting to document more examples of environmental grief to better understand how humans are adapting to a warming planet. Oaks is acknowledging a personal loss. In this case, a culturally valuable tree species may lead to less apathy and potentially more individual action.
Wow, this is bigger than me. This is hitting home. How can I cope with that?
And Oaks recently wrote a book about this called In Search of the Canary Tree, which is about her time spent doing research on yellow cedar in Southeast Alaska. She says despite the tremendous loss, life is still growing, and she thinks people can still change the narrative. And in other news, police arrested a student at Juneau Douglas High School who brought a BB gun with her to school today. The school went into stay-put mode while officers investigated. JPD received a report this afternoon after the 16-year-old student posted a photo on social media of what appeared to be a handgun. Officers contacted the student at the school and confirmed she was in possession of a BB gun, which appeared to be the weapon in the photo. The student was arrested for terroristic threatening in the second degree, a Class C felony, and taken to the Johnson Youth Center. No one was injured. JPD stated in a release that there does not appear to be any continuing danger to the community. The stay put was lifted at the high school, and normal operations resumed about an hour before the end of the school day. And the Juneau Assembly approved changes to the city's anti-smoking law last night that include increasing the smoking buffer around businesses. Smoking tobacco is already illegal in and around most businesses in Juneau. The new rule brings the city into compliance with a statewide anti-smoking law passed last year, much of which already aligns with the city code. Assemblymember Lauren Jones proposed an amendment adding language that includes vape pens and other electronic smoking products. Jones wanted to bring the city into compliance with another state law related to restrictions for vaping.
So if you look at Senate Bill 15, it talked about vaping with nicotine products, and it added to that the use of electronic smoking product so that you got to that expanded definition that if it didn't contain nicotine, it's still smokable, it still vapes.
City Attorney Robert Palmer explained the city code already addresses some electronic smoking products, but not all.
So it's a little bit broader there. There is a little bit of redundancy because our current code does currently prohibit certain vaping types of smoking.
Beth Jones' amendment and the ordinance pass unanimously. One thing the ordinance does not address is the use of marijuana products. Last month, the State Marijuana Control Board approved regulations for on-site marijuana consumption for approved retail stores. The rules still need to be reviewed by the Department of Law before they are final. Under current city code, smoking marijuana products is not allowed in private clubs or retail shops. The Assembly is expected to discuss on-site marijuana consumption at a meeting next month. You're listening to KTOO.